What happens when the fabric of reality begins to unravel? Stephen King's The Gunslinger opens with one of literature's most unforgettable lines. The man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed. In that single sentence, we're thrust into a world both hauntingly familiar and utterly alien, a post-apocalyptic wasteland where the remnants of civilization lie scattered like bones beneath an unforgiving sun. Roland Deschain, the last gunslinger from the fallen kingdom of Gilead, pursues his nemesis across what the narrative calls the apotheosis of all deserts. This isn't merely a physical landscape, but a spiritual one, a blinding white emptiness that mirrors the existential void left when meaning itself has dried up and blown away. Roland moves with methodical determination, his sandalwood-handled guns hanging at his sides, worn perfectly to fit his hands. For 2 months, he's been gaining ground, finding only cold campfires arranged in cryptic patterns, never a personal item or true signature of his quarry. At night, he makes his own fire over the ashes left by the man in black, muttering childhood words as he strikes spark to devil grass. Spark a dark, where's my sire? Will I lay me? Will I stay me? Bless this camp with fire. These ritualistic phrases hint at a world once rich with tradition and meaning, now reduced to echoes. Roland himself is a relic, the last practitioner of a dying code in a dying land. His pursuit transcends mere vengeance, it defines his very existence. Roland reaches Tull, a decrepit town where hostile inhabitants eye him with suspicion. At Sheb's honky-tonk, he pays with a scarce gold piece and receives meat from Allie, the barmaid, likely from some mutant creature in this degraded world. Most shocking is Nort, a wretched devilgrass addict who addresses Roland in the high speech of Gilead, a language he hasn't heard in what feels like centuries. Allie reveals the disturbing truth. Nort had died, and the man in black performed a bizarre ritual, spitting on his corpse and leaping over it in smooth, water-like arcs. Nort twitched back to life, addiction intact. The man in black left a psychological trap, a note revealing that speaking 19 to Nort would make him reveal what he'd seen in death. The note warned this knowledge would drive her mad, but that eventually she'd be unable to resist. Allie recognizes the terrible perfection. The more she tries not to think about it, the more compelled she feels. This manipulation reveals the man in black's true cruelty. He creates suffering that persists long after he's gone, like a virus implanted in the mind. Roland's time in Tull ends in horror when the town turns against him, whipped into religious frenzy by Sylvia Pittston, who proclaims the man in black an angel of God and Roland the Antichrist. His guns beat their heavy atonal music as he methodically cuts down everyone, 39 men, 14 women, and 5 children, everyone in Tull. He finds Nort crucified on the roof with a purple cloven hoof mark on his forehead. This slaughter reveals the true cost of Roland's obsession. He kills without hesitation, including children, when they stand between him and his goal. Yet King doesn't present this as heroic. It's portrayed as tragedy, the result of a world gone mad, and a man whose humanity has been eroded by single-minded purpose. After Tull, Roland continues across the desert until he collapses from thirst. He awakens to find himself cared for by Jake Chambers, a boy impossibly out of place in this wasteland. Jake's fading memories recall tall buildings and a statue with a crown and torch, clearly New York City. Using hypnosis, Roland helps Jake recover his death. The man in black pushed him into traffic, transporting him from our world to Roland's. Despite suspecting Jake might be a trap, Roland finds himself drawn to the boy. For the first time, we see Roland's hardened exterior crack. Yet this creates terrible tension. Roland begins to suspect Jake's presence may force him to choose between saving the boy and continuing his quest. At Ancient Standing Stones, a mescaline-induced oracle reveals Roland's fate. 3 is his mystic number. First, a dark-haired man possessed by heroin. Second, someone on wheels. Third is death, but not his own. Jake is his gate to the man in black, who leads to the three, who are his path to the Dark Tower. When Roland asks if Jake can be saved, she says yes, if he abandons his quest. Roland refuses, bound by oath and memory of Martin's treachery. As they travel, Roland shares memories of Gilead, once beautiful with fields and forests, now ruined. The grand central place, with its 100 stone castles and elegant dances, now lies overrun with bats and spoiled wine. In flashback, 14-year-old Roland discovers his mother's affair with Martin. Driven by betrayal, he challenges his teacher Court to ritual combat years early, using his hawk David as a weapon. Roland's brutal victory, sacrificing the bird he loved, foreshadows his eventual sacrifice of Jake. Roland and Jake flee through mountain tunnels on an ancient handcar, pursued by slow mutants, grotesque creatures with glowing green faces and compound eyes like shattered mirrors. They reach an underground terminal where the man in black waits across a massive chasm, separated only by a rusted trestle bridge. As they cross, the structure collapses. Jake slips, dangling from a failing beam. Roland faces his terrible choice: save the boy he's come to love, or pursue the man who holds the secrets of the Dark Tower. He chooses his quest. Jake falls, his final words carrying profound understanding. "Go then, there are other worlds than these." The phrase echoes with both forgiveness and prophecy. When Roland reaches the far side and empties his guns at the man in black, the bullets pass harmlessly through. This moment represents Roland's moral nadir, a crystallization of his tragic flaw. Jake's dying words offer absolution while foreshadowing the vast multiverse central to the larger story. The man in black leads Roland to an ancient killing ground for their final confrontation. Using tarot cards, he tells Roland's fortune, turning seven cards: the Hanged Man, Roland; the Sailor, Jake; the Prisoner; the Lady of Shadows, Death; the Tower, and Life, which he burns, saying it's not for Roland. Walter creates a universe before Roland's eyes, revealing humanity's insignificance against the vastness of creation. He speaks of paradox and infinity. Our universe might be merely an atom on a blade of grass in some greater reality. The greatest mystery is not life, but size. Universes within universes, atoms within atoms. He describes the tower as a nexus connecting all worlds, with a stairway rising to the Godhead itself. Walter reveals he is also Martin, who betrayed Roland's father and seduced his mother. He instructs Roland to journey to the sea, where he will gain the power of drawing. "You will draw three," Walter says. Roland awakens aged 10 years, with gray hair and deeper lines, the cost of knowledge. Walter is now just a skeleton in rotting black robes. The novel ends with transition rather than resolution. Roland reaches the endless beach, sitting with his father's guns at his hips, waiting for the time of drawing. He has sacrificed Jake only to learn Walter was merely a stepping stone. The tower stands revealed as the axis upon which all realities turn.